This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله today we will be covering du'as in salah, meaning all of those prayers which we say while we perform salah. What do these du'as mean? Why do we say them? What is their significance? Remember that the main objective of salah, the main reason why we pray salah, is to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. He said to Musa alayhi salam that establish salah for my remembrance. Meaning, in one's life, throughout the day, a person turns towards Allah in order to remember Him. And yes, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day, but five times a day, in a formal way, through ritual worship, we remember Allah. We remember His greatness, His perfection, the fact that He alone is the creator, the owner, sustainer, that He alone is worthy of worship. And salah has been obligated so that we are able to maintain these feelings throughout the day. Everything in the universe glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn about the angels that they glorify Allah constantly, in the night, in the day, and they do not slacken. So we should also declare the perfection of Allah. We should remember His greatness and praise Him. And the best way to do that is in salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that لَكِنِ الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ لَكِنِ الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ مِنْهُمْ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَالْمُقِيمِينَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالْمُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ أُولَٰئِكَ سَنُؤْتِيهِمْ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. But those firm in knowledge among them and the believers, believe in what has been revealed to you and what was revealed before you, and the establishers of prayer especially, and the givers of zakah, and the believers in Allah and the last day, those we will give a great reward. We see over here that salah is one of those deeds for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised a great reward. It is no ordinary action. It is not something you do only when you are free or when you have nothing else to do. No, it is an excellent, the best form of worship. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the virtue of those who have knowledge, الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, and the virtue of those who believe, those who do righteous deeds. You see, رَاسِخُون means those who are firmly rooted. A shajara, a tree that is rasikha, is a tree that is firmly rooted, that does not get uprooted by winds or storms. So the people who are deeply rooted in knowledge, it doesn't mean that they are perfect or complete in it, because there is no limit to ilm. Rather, they are firm in what they know. How? First of all, it is because they believe in what was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're firm in their knowledge because they believe in the truth. They have beneficial knowledge. They have knowledge of the truth. And they do not follow, they do not blindly follow the trends of the people of the world. They follow evidence. So they have knowledge that is free of any doubt, and knowledge that is rooted, firmly rooted in their minds, in their hearts. And then with this knowledge, there is also amal, there is also action, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالْمُقِيمِينَ الصَّلَاةَ وَالْمُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. They establish salah and give zakah. So this is firmness in knowledge, that a person believes, that a person has knowledge of the truth, a person believes in that truth, and then a person acts upon it as well. And when a person is firmly rooted in knowledge, then they are protected from deviation. They do not get swayed by their surroundings. And such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُؤْتِيهِمْ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا أُولَٰئِكَ, yani those whose status is very high, سَنُؤْتِيهِمْ, we shall give them, أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, a reward that is ever great. Yani, this is a promise of Allah, there is no doubt about the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes. Now remember that there is a deep relationship between ilm, iman, and amal salih, between knowledge, faith, and righteous action. Because when a person has knowledge of the truth, and a person understands it and believes in it, then what happens is that their knowledge leads to iman. And iman, their faith, leads to action. And then action in return strengthens their faith. So it is not enough that a person says that I believe and that's sufficient. With iman, we must strengthen both sides. We need to strengthen our knowledge, and we also need to strengthen our actions, because both of these preserve and strengthen your iman. And iman, remember, it is the most valuable blessing that a person has. It is more precious than their car, their house, their bank account, everything that they own. Iman is more important. And in order to preserve our iman, our faith, we need both things, knowledge and action. And I hope, inshallah, through these sessions, you are increasing in your knowledge. You are remembering things that you maybe knew before but had forgotten. And I hope, inshallah, through these sessions, you are also encouraged to increase in your amal, in your actions. Now, we learn that when it comes to salah, it is also called iman in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah will not waste your faith. And what is meant by faith over there is your salah. And salah is something very, very essential to one's iman. Meaning if a person does not pray salah, then their iman is questionable. And salah is, an act of worship that includes not only your intention, yani you intend to worship Allah in your salah, but there's also certain words that you have to recite. And there's some actions that you have to perform. And when it comes to performing salah, it is not enough to just do salah. Yani it's not enough to just go and say I am done my salah. No, we see in this ayah, وَالْمُقِيمِينَ الصَّلَاةِ, those who establish salah. And to establish salah is to perform salah properly, correctly, while fulfilling all of the conditions, observing all of the pillars, meaning all of the essentials of salah, the obligatory actions of salah, and then perfecting the salah with the recommended deeds as well. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that iqamat as-salah is to properly perform the ruku' and the sajda. Yani if you're properly performing salah, that means you are making your ruku', your sajda, properly. You're not rushing through it. And iqamat as-salah is that you recite Quran and you observe your salah with khushur, with humility, with attentiveness. And Qatada said that iqamat as-salah is to guard the times of salah. I need to make sure that you are performing salah at the right time. And you are making the ruku' and the sujood properly in salah. You're not rushing through them. You're not speeding through them. And we see that both salah and zakat are excellent acts of worship. And both of them require sincerity on our part and excellence in the way that we perform them. Now, when it comes to salah, remember that salah linguistically means to pray. And Technically, salah is an act of worship that is performed by saying certain words and performing certain actions. And salah begins with takbir and it ends with taslim, meaning it begins when you say Allahu Akbar and it ends when you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Remember that the ultimate goal of our lives is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason why He created us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I did not create jinn and men except so that they should worship me. So out of all the things that are important in your life, remember that what is of utmost important, what is at the top of the list is what? It is salah. Salah is the purpose of our lives, literally. So if in a day you're not able to, for example, finish an assignment, you're not able to get your chores done, you're not able to prepare any food for yourself, you're not able to accomplish anything on your to-do list, but you are able to perform the 5 daily prayers, then you have fulfilled the purpose of your life for that day. This doesn't mean that other things are not important. They are, but salah is more important than any other thing that you can busy yourself with, because it is the purpose of our lives. It fulfills the purpose of our lives, which is to worship Allah. And when the Prophet ﷺ was asked that which deed is the most beloved to Allah, أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, he said, الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا, performing salah at its proper time. When a person becomes a Muslim, then the first thing that they learn is to perform salah. It's the first and foremost act of worship. When children are taught to worship Allah, the first thing they're taught is to pray salah. Salah comes before fasting. It comes before Hajj and other acts of worship. We see that all of the prophets of Allah performed salah. Musa alayhi salam, one of the first things he was told by Allah was wa aqim as-salata li dhikri, establish salah for my remembrance. Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua, rabbi ja'alni muqim as-salah, oh my Lord, make me someone who establishes salah. We see that Ibrahim alayhi salam left his son Ismail in the middle of the desert, basically. Why? We learn in the Quran, liyuqimu as-salah, in order that they establish salah. And this is the reason why he left his family in Mecca, so that they worship Allah, they perform salah. Isa alayhi salam, when he was a baby and he spoke in defense of his mother, he mentioned that وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا, that Allah has commanded me to pray salah and give zakat for as long as I am alive. Maryam عليها السلام, the abida, the worshipper, she was told, يَا مَرْيَمُ قُنُوتِي لِرَبِّكِ وَاسْجُدِي وَارْكَعِي مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, that O Maryam, be devoutly obedient to your Lord and make sajda and make rukur, yani worship Allah through performing salah. Luqman, the wise, advised his son that ya bunayya aqim as-salah, oh my son, establish salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands his slaves to perform salah. Qul li'ibadi alladhina amanu yuqimu as-salah. And it is a sign of sincere believers that they establish salah. Salah is the second pillar of Islam. And we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated 5 salawat on people during the day and the night. And the person who fulfills them and he performs them properly and is not negligent about them, then on the day of judgment, he will have a covenant with Allah that Allah will admit him into Jannah. But the person who he neglects his salah, then such a person will not have such a covenant with Allah. It is up to Allah. If Allah wants, Allah can punish that person. And if Allah wants, He can forgive that person. You see, 2 times a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks His angels about our salah. Because angels come and attend to us. Yani they observe our actions, they record our deeds. And there's 2 shifts of angels. And as the shift changes, they return to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them that, how did you find my slaves? and how did you leave my slaves? So if a person is of those who perform salah, the angels reply that when we left them, they were praying, and when we reached them, they were praying. How beautiful. So remember, there is no religiosity in a person if they do not pray salah. Sometimes we try to belittle the importance of salah by saying, oh, I don't pray, but I'm very respectful and I am very honest and I am nice to my family. I am very decent in the way that I talk and my faith is in my heart. Excellent. All of that is great. Or some people say that, you know, I wear the hijab, I wear the niqab, I look after my parents, but when it comes to salah, I'm not that consistent. No, the real religiosity, the real piety in a person is that they are loyal to Allah and that they fulfill the purpose of their existence by worshiping Allah. And what is worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on us? It is salah, the five daily prayers. And remember that it is salah that differentiates between Islam and kufr, between Islam and disbelief. And we are commanded to not just perform salah, but also to guard our salah. حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ. And we are commanded that we pray salah ourselves, and we also remind our family members to perform salah, and to not be lazy in regard to our salah, and not be lazy in telling our families to pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. That instruct your family to pray salah and be steadfast therein. Be steadfast in what? Be steadfast in performing salah yourself, and also be steadfast in telling your family to pray. And children are supposed to pray after age 7. So don't be lazy in teaching your children how to pray and in reminding them to pray salah. And salah is so important that people are required to pray salah even in the thick of battle. And at the time of Dajjal also, we learned that salah will still be obligated and the believers will pray salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us about the importance of salah, and he emphasized it so much that his last words before he departed from the world were what? In regard to salah, he said, "As-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum." And he, be mindful of your salah, guard your salah, guard your salah, and be conscious of Allah in regard to that which your hands possess, meaning fear Allah in regard to your slaves. And remember that the first question that we will be asked on the Day of Judgment is regarding our salah. This is how hisab will begin. So if a person passes the test of salah, then the rest of the hisab will also be easy. But if they get stuck over there, then everything else will be difficult. And this is why we're told, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Salah brings success. And salah doesn't just bring a person success in the hereafter. In this world also, it is a source of mercy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that when one of you stands in prayer, then the mercy of Allah is before him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. In order that you may receive mercy. And how often it happens that, you know, in the day we are struggling. We are struggling with illness or fatigue or work or worry, stress. And the way to find relief is by performing salah. And through salah, we get sustenance from Allah. Salah removes poverty and dependency on people. When a person performs salah, then they receive the du'as of the angels also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them out of their worry and their fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps those who pray salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards and protects those people who pray salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heals them. Ibn al-Qayyim said that remembering Allah and turning towards Him and eagerly praying salah is something because of which many who were ill have been cured and have been granted safety and well-being. Yani because of salah, our illness goes away. And illness is not just physical illness. It includes spiritual illness. Any the doubts that we may have or the desires that constantly distract us, burden us. Because of that, because of salah, we are healed. Our sins are erased. Our sins are washed off. And a person is guarded against indecent and immoral actions because of salah. Because think about it, if a person has to pray 5 times a day with attentiveness and with awareness, yani they are aware of what they're saying, then how can they indulge in indecent and immoral actions between two prayers? So salah breaks bad habits also. In a hadith, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ was asked regarding a man who, you know, prays, but then he goes and commits theft. And the Prophet ﷺ said that if he is, as you have said, meaning he prays, then his salah will stop him eventually. And salah destroys bad habits. And salah brings real joy and happiness to a person. It brings a person comfort, which is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said that وَجُعِلَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ, that the coolness of the eye has been the coolness of my eye has been placed in salah, meaning I find comfort and happiness in salah. And we learned that Ibn Qayyim said that the person whose eyes are cooled through salah in the world, then in the hereafter they will be cooled by closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani if salah brings you relief and happiness in this world, then yes, on the day of judgment, you will find happiness and relief and comfort and all of the good feelings by being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because salah allows you to experience closeness to Allah. Because in salah, you're not allowed to talk to anyone. In fact, you should not even be thinking about anything. The entire focus should be on who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you strengthen that bond, then imagine on the day of judgment, a person will find real joy and happiness in being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of judgment, the limbs of the people who pray salah will glow. And they will be shining. This will be their distinctive mark. And so on the day of judgment, salah will be, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nuran wa burhanan wa najatan yawm al-qiyamah. It will be a light and a salvation for a person on the day of judgment, and it will be a protection against hellfire for a person in the hereafter. On the other hand, if a person is if they neglect salah, then this is extremely dangerous, because it leads a person to kufr, to disbelief, and to shirk. And it deprives a person of their faith. Ibn Mas'ud would say that the one who leaves prayer has no religion. And Ibn al-Qayyim said that there are 6 things in salah that are signs of hypocrisy. Meaning if a person performs their salah with these six characteristics, then it means that they have hypocrisy in them. What are these 6 signs? They are, first of all, showing laziness in going towards salah. Secondly, praying salah in order to be seen by people, so that people are happy that, okay, yes, she is someone who prays salah. Thirdly, delaying in performing salah, any procrastinating, delaying, doing everything else before going towards salah. And then number 4, praying very quickly, rushing through it. Number 5, remembering Allah very little in salah. That a person is praying, but they don't remember Allah at all. They're constantly thinking about what they're going to do, what they're going to say, what they're going to cook, what they're going to eat, what they're going to do next. And number 6, not praying in congregation. All of these are signs of hypocrisy. Wal-iyadu billah. We also learn that the person who deliberately leaves salah loses the protection of Allah. Hey, such a person is not in Allah's protection. And the one who loses one salah, then it is as if he has lost his property and his family. May Allah protect us. If you've ever heard of situations where, you know, for example, people have lost their homes to a fire, and if there is some damage to not only property, but we hear in the news about how children died in the fire, the entire family died in the fire. So imagine what a huge loss this is. Losing one salah is greater than that loss. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who leaves the asr prayer, then his actions are wasted. And the ulama say that this is about the one who delays the asr prayer without a genuine reason, such as procrastination, laziness. Yani they're just delaying, 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 and then they end up missing it. Then all of their actions are wasted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Another thing is that in the Quran, we learn that the people who do not pray, then their death is very, very painful. And death is painful anyway, for those who are righteous and also those who are not righteous. But it is especially hard for the person who does not pray salah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ, and the leg is wound about the leg. إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقُ, to your Lord that day will be the procession. فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّىٰ, and he neither believed nor had he prayed. Meaning this person who is dying, whose leg is joining with his other leg because life is leaving his body, then this person, he neither believed nor did he pray. وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّىٰ, but instead he denied and he turned away. And we learn that the person who does not pray, then they will be with Qarun and Fir'aun and Haman and Ubay ibn Khalaf, yani the enemies of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So we should pray to Allah that, Ya Allah, make me someone who establishes salah. Make my children those who establish salah. And we should also think about what we are saying in salah. Because when we know what we are saying, we are able to focus better. And then we're able to enjoy our salah. And then we can be consistent with our salah. So inshallah, in today's short session, we're going to go over the meaning of some of the du'as that we are supposed to say in salah. Now remember that salah begins with takbiratul ihram, yani with saying Allahu Akbar. And it is called takbiratul ihram because everything that was permissible before saying it becomes impermissible after saying it. So for example, a person is allowed to eat and drink and talk to people, look here and there, go in and out, walk around, etc. These are all permissible acts. But once you say Allahu Akbar and you begin salah, then you cannot eat, you cannot drink, you cannot talk to people, you cannot even look here and there, you cannot go out of the room and come back. No, all of those things become forbidden. So this is takbiratul ihram. And saying Allahu Akbar, takbiratul ihram, this is a pillar of salah without which there is no salah. And without it, salah does not begin. And if you don't say Allahu Akbar properly, correctly, your salah does not begin. To enter salah, you have to say Allahu Akbar. And you say Allahu Akbar many times in salah. And we see that takbir is connected to salah in every way. Yani before salah, there is adhan. And in adhan, there is takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Right? And then after adhan, there is iqama. In iqama, also there is takbir. When you begin salah, you begin with Allahu Akbar. And then every time you move from one step of salah to the next, again, you say Allahu Akbar in every transition, except for when you're getting up from ruku'. So takbir, remember, is a symbol of salah, the shi'ar of salah, just as talbiyah is shi'ar of hajj. When people go for hajj, what is it that they say constantly? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, right? And in salah, what is it that we say constantly? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So the secret of salah is what? It is ta'zeem of Allah. Yani it is to glorify and praise Allah, to magnify Him, to show His, to express His greatness. Ibn Hajar said that takbir is a dhikr which is said at a time of shock, at a time of surprise, and fear. So for example, in the seerah, we see that at many occasions, when some news, fearful, you know, frightening news was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Allahu Akbar. So you say Allahu Akbar at a time of shock. And also you say Allahu Akbar at the time of happiness, like for example, on the day of Eid, in order to show gratitude to Allah. And you say Allahu Akbar at a time of fear. Why? Because you remind yourself that Allah is greater. Greater than what? Than this problem that has come my way. That Allah is capable of helping me. So takbir is a dhikr. And it is not only glorification of Allah, it is also a form of showing gratitude to Allah. And Allahu Akbar means Allah is the greatest. So the person praying salah says it in salah in order to declare that Allah is greater than anything else that I could be doing right now. Allah is greater than the essay that I was just typing. That is why I left it and I came and I started praying. Allah is greater than the food that I was cooking, right? And that is why I left it and I came to salah. And in salah, when anything distracts you, the food or the essay or what people are saying, then you say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than anything that could distract me or that could hinder me from salah. And when a person continues to say, Allahu Akbar in salah, then this saves a person from two major disasters. And what are these major disasters? First of all, takabbur, pride, arrogance. Because we think, I am great. I am able to do this. I can do this. I can do that. Allahu Akbar reminds you, Allah is greater than you. Allah is greater than me. Right? So it saves you from arrogance. And secondly, saying Allahu Akbar also protects you from turning towards someone other than Allah. Because when you keep declaring Allah is greater, Allah is greater, and Allah is greater than anything that I love, Allah is greater than anyone whom I love, Allah is greater than anyone whom I fear, anything that I am concerned about, Allah is greater. He is more worthy of my attention. He is more worthy that I talk to Him, that I glorify Him, that I converse with Him. So Allahu Akbar is a protection. Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam says about the wisdom of takbir in salah, because you have to say takbir again and again in salah. He says that the purpose of salah is to remember Allah. And in order to do that, it is necessary to know the greatness of the one you are remembering. And if you're supposed to remember Allah in salah, well, who is Allah? You have to know His greatness. You have to keep that greatness in mind in order to show proper adab throughout the salah. Because sadly, you know, when people are praying, sometimes they are looking here and there. They are, not moving their lips. They're not saying anything. Or they have the audacity to stand in prayer without wudu. And that is because they don't recognize the greatness of the one whom they are remembering. Salah begins with takbir, which proves the greatness of Allah so that a person knows knows the one he is standing before and the one that he is sitting before in tashahud and making ruku' and sajda for. So when you remember the majesty of Allah, the greatness of Allah, by saying Allahu Akbar in salah, then you're able to show obedience and proper humility. Then you will observe proper adab and you will ensure that you have purification, both external and internal. And only then you can focus on your conversation with Allah. So when you say Allahu Akbar, it means that you're leaving everything behind. Because when you say Allahu Akbar, you also raise your hands, right? You also raise your hands. And when you raise your hands, what are you doing? You're basically throwing behind yourself everything else, everyone else. You are focusing entirely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you say Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, and you say it while you mean it, then you will have humility and proper etiquette, proper adab in salah. And the person who stands properly before Allah in salah, they will be able to stand properly on the Day of Judgment also. When we say Allahu Akbar and begin salah, after that we place our hands on the chest and our eyes should be looking straight on the place of the sajda, of prostration. We should not be looking right, we should not be looking left, we should not be looking at our hands or our toes or our clothes. No, we should be looking at the place of sajda. And we stand in prayer, and then we begin the du'as of istiftah. We begin glorification and praise of Allah, and we seek forgiveness from Allah. And with regards to du'as of istiftah, Ibn al-Qayyim says that the secret of salah and its essence is that a person is attentive towards his Lord. And that's the main goal of salah, that you are paying attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only Allah. And you are making your heart present before Allah. Like, you're not allowing your heart to get distracted. This is the entire struggle in salah, right? That you want to make sure your heart is fully attentive, only attentive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that in salah, the slave is similar to the condition of a person who goes towards the door of a king in order to meet the king. So before this meeting, this person needs forgiveness for his sins, and he needs to ask for the generosity of the king and for sustenance in order to have the strength to meet the king. And when he reaches the door of the king, then there remains nothing other than conversation with the king. So this is why before we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, which is basically a conversation with Allah, before that, what do? We ask Allah for forgiveness, and we praise and glorify Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His blessings on us. How do we do that? We say the du'as of istiftah, and there are several du'as of istiftah. One of them is Allahu Akbar Kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila. Allah is the greatest, the most great. Praise be to Allah abundantly. Glory is to Allah at the break of day and its end, at the beginning of the day and in the evening. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that while they were praying with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man said these words. And after salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "Who said these words?" And a person said that it is I. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it amazed me, because the doors of the sky were opened up for these words. So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that I have not left these words since I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that. So we should also say these words when we begin salah. Allahu Akbar Kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila. And you see, in this also, we are declaring the greatness of Allah. Because when we declare the greatness of Allah, along with his praise, and while showing gratitude to Allah, then this brings contentment to the heart. When we declare Allah's greatness, we find ease. Our problems are solved. Our worries are removed. Our sorrow is dispelled. When we declare the greatness of Allah, this strengthens our iman. When we glorify and praise Allah, this opens the doors of goodness for us. And especially, you see in this dua, we say bukratan wa asila, in the morning and in the evening, meaning I declare Allah's greatness, His praise, His glory, in the morning and in the evening. Why in the morning and in the evening? Because this is when the angels give the report of our salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the morning and in the evening. Another dua we can say when we begin salah, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriq wal-maghrib. اللهم نقني من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس اللهم اغسل خطاياي بالماء والثلج والبرد آمين. O Allah, set me apart from my sins as far as the east and the west are set apart from each other. The first thing we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for is that, oh Allah, create a distance between me and my sins. What kind of a distance? A distance like that between the East and the West. Because this distance is such that it can never be eliminated, in the sense that the East and the West can never be joined together, right? So you're asking Allah to create a permanent distance between you and your sins, to take you far away from your sins and to take your sins far away from you. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you for your past and future sins. And you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you away from committing sins in the future. That keep me away from sins, meaning keep me away from sins in my future. Protect me from committing sins in my future. Secondly, you're saying that Allahumma naqini min al-khataya kama yunqa thawb al-abyad min ad-danas. That, oh Allah, clean me from my sins as a white garment is cleaned of dirt. Any, after thorough washing, what happens to a white garment that was stained? The stains are removed and the garment is completely clean. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over here to remove your sins and to also remove the effect of sins from you. Any, all the sins that you've ever committed, you're asking Allah, ya Allah, wash away there, remove their effect also, their impact on me, because sins do have an impact. So you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove your present sins from you, meaning the sins that you're currently committing and you're not even aware of them. And then thirdly, you're asking Allah, Allahumma ghsil khatayaya bil ma'i wa thalji wal barad, that, oh Allah, wash off my sins with water, snow, and hail. Allahu Akbar. You're asking Allah to wash away your sins with three things. And think about it. If you're cleaning something, if you're cleaning a garment, and you put it through one stain cycle, and then you leave it to soak, and then you wash it again. You know, you wash it, you clean it through multiple rounds of cleaning. Why? Because you want to make sure that it is completely clean. Completely clean. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wash away your sins with water, snow, and hail. Three things. Why? So that your sins are completely washed away. And why is it that you're asking Allah to wash away your sins with something cool, cold, like snow and hail? Because sins have a heat, a fire. And water, hail, snow are cool. And the water of hail and snow and rain is completely pure, right? Because it is untouched by the hands of people. It is pure and purifying. And remember that when it comes to removing stains, cold water is way better, more effective than hot. You're also asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease in the removal of sins. You see, one is that a person is purified of their sins in the fire of hell, and we seek Allah's refuge from that. Because we learn that people who believe because of their sins, many will end up in hellfire. And they will be purified of their sins by experiencing the punishment of those sins in hellfire. And then they will be removed from hellfire and admitted into paradise. So we're asking Allah, ya Allah, don't purify me through fire. Purify me through water, snow, and hail. Because you are able to forgive all sins. So you're asking Allah for ease in the process of purification. Sometimes leaving a bad habit is very painful. Leaving a sin is painful. It's hard. A person struggles. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease in the removal of sins from you. And here, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wash away all of your past sins. So in this dua, you're asking Allah to keep you away from sins in future. You're asking Allah to remove your present sins from you. And you're asking Allah to wash away your past sins as well. What a beautiful dua it is. Another dua we can make, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarak ismuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. Glorious you are, O Allah, and with your praise, and blessed is your name, exalted is your majesty, and none has the right to be worshipped but you. And the Prophet ﷺ would begin his salah with these words. So we should also begin our salah with these words. Because in these words we are glorifying Allah, praising Him, declaring His perfection, His greatness. We also learned that when the Prophet ﷺ would wake up for tahajjud prayer, then he would recite some other du'as in istiftah as well. And of course, I cannot cover all of them right now, but I will mention one in which we learn the Prophet ﷺ would say, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. I have turned my face toward Him who created the heavens and the earth, as someone who is unswerving in the worship of Allah alone. And I am not of those who associate partners with Allah. إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَٰلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Verily, my salah, my sacrifice, my living, and my dying are for Allah, the Lord of all that exists. He has no partner. And of this I have been commanded, and I am one of the Muslims. Allahumma anta al-malik, la ilaha illa anta. O Allah, you are the sovereign. There is none worthy of worship but you. Anta rabbi wa ana abduk. You are my Lord, and I am your slave. ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي وَاعْتَرَفْتُ بِذَنْبِي. I have wronged myself and I have confessed my sins. فَغْفِرْ لِي ذُنُوبِي جَمِيعًا. So forgive me all of my sins. إِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. None can forgive sins except for you. وَهْدِنِي لِأَحْسَنِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And guide me to the best manners. لَا يَهْدِي لِأَحْسَنِهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ. None can guide to the best of manners, the best conduct except you. وَصْرِفْ عَنِّي سَيِّئَهَا لَا يَصْرِفُ عَنِّي سَيِّئَهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And turn me and turn away from me evil conduct, for none can turn it away from me except you. لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ فِي يَدَيْكَ. O Allah, I am here at your service. All goodness is in your hands. And وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. Evil is not attributed to you. أَنَا بِكَ وَإِلَيْكَ. I rely on you and I turn to you. تَبَارَكْتَ وَتَعَالَيْتَ. Blessed are you, exalted are you. أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. I seek your forgiveness and I repent to you. What a beautiful dua this is. After dua istiftah, we say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek refuge with Allah against shaitan. And we can also say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. That I seek refuge in Allah against shaitan who is accursed, especially from the hams, the evil suggestions of shaitan, his nafkh, his puffing up. And this can mean that he's puffing me up, that I feel arrogant in myself. وَنَفْثِهِ, and from his spitting, yani from his influence on me. That Ya Allah, protect me from the influence of shaitan. And then we recite Suratul Fatiha. And after Suratul Fatiha, we recite some portion of the Quran. And then we go into Rukur. We say Allahu Akbar, we go into Rukur. And Rukur, remember, this is described as a third of Salah. And Rukur should be performed properly, such that our back is completely straight. And in Rukur, we should also observe stillness. And we should come to a complete stop. You know, some people, when they're driving and they reach a stop sign, they don't make a complete stop. They make a rolling stop, right? And then what happens? They drive off. Some people don't even bother to stop. Other people make a rolling stop and then they continue driving. And if a police officer sees you doing that, what's going to happen? You're going to see consequences because that's not a complete stop. In Salah, remember, in every position, we have to come to a complete stop, including Rukur, meaning become completely still before getting up from Rukur. And as you are completely still in Rukur, then say the Adhkar of Rukur. And what is it that we can say in Rukur? سبحان ربي العظيم. We say, glory be to my Lord, the ever great. And you see, when we say words of glorification in rukur, what are we doing? We are showing three types of humility. First of all, we are showing humility through our limbs, that we are not standing up straight. Rather, we are, you know, bending our bodies, right? We are physically showing humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just by lowering our eyes or lowering our heads. No, we're literally lowering our back. We're bending down. Secondly, we are showing humility before Allah. How? Through our tongue, that we show, we say words of glorification. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Glory be to my Lord, the ever great. So we show glorification to Allah, and we show humility in ourselves by bending, and then by saying such words. And then thirdly, by with ta'zim in our hearts, with respect and reverence and humility in our hearts also. And other things that we can say, or rather other words of dhikr that we can say in rukur, are subuhun quddusun rabbul malaikati wal ruh, that O Allah, you are the most glorious, the most pure, the Lord of the angels and the spirit, meaning Jibril. And some ulama say that ruh refers to those creatures that are even hidden from the angels. Subhanallah. We can see, angels can see us, we cannot see them, right? But angels, they can see us, they cannot see ruh. So the ulama said that ruh can be Jibril, and it can also be other creatures whom the angels cannot see. Now in rukur, remember that you are completely erasing your greatness, right? Your greatness, you are completely erasing it. How? By bending your body, by saying words of glorification. And you are supposed to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for long. At times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's rukur would be as long as his qiyam, the same duration. So say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, for example, three times. And then say Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikati wal-Ruh. And then say Subhanaka wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta. Glory and praise be to you. There is none worthy of worship but you. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Allahumma ghfirli. Glory and praise be to you, O Allah, our Lord. O Allah, forgive me. Subhanaka wa bihamdika. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحان ذي الجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظمة. Glory is to you, Master of Power, Dominion, Majesty and Greatness. Another dua we can say in rukur, اللهم لك ركعت. O Allah, I have bowed to you. I make rukur to you. وبك آمنت. In you I believe. ولك أسلمت. And to you I surrender. خشع لك سمعي وبصري ومخي وعظمي وعصبي. My hearing, my sight, my brain, my bones, and my nerves, my muscles, all are humbled before you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say so many different adhkar, so many different du'as in rukur. One of the reasons why we do not find joy in salah is because we repeat the same words over and over again. And we say them with our mouths, not with our hearts. Our hearts are somewhere else. So it's necessary that we learn different adhkar, and we bring a variety in our salah, because that will help us with our khushur. After rukur is the qawma, meaning you get up again, right? But this standing position is shorter than the first one. And in this standing position, we should be completely straight. Yani we should make our we should stand completely upright. And as we stand upright again, we should glorify and praise Allah. First of all, we say as we rise, "Sami'a Allahu liman hamida." Allah has heard the one who praised him. And then we say, "Rabbana walakal hamd," or "Rabbana lakal hamd," or "Allahumma ربنا لك الحمد. يعني there's different ways of saying this, and it's good to bring that variety in salah, that our Lord, you deserve all praise. حمدًا كثيرًا طيبًا مباركًا فيه. A praise that is abundant, praise that is pure, and praise that is blessed. Yani a lot, and pure and great. This is how much I praise you. Another thing we can say is سمع الله لمن حمده. اللهم ربنا لك الحمد ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. That Allah, that O Allah, our Lord, for you is praise that fills the heavens and fills the earth and fills whatever else you will. In another dua, we add to that, أهل الثناء والمجد أحق ما قال العبد وكلنا لك عبد اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. That, O Allah, you are worthy of what the slave has said. And all of us are slaves to you. O Allah, none can prevent what you have willed to bestow. And no one can bestow what you have willed to prevent. And the wealth of the wealthy one will not help him against you. In another dua of Qawma, we say, Allahumma tahhirni bithalji walbarad walma'i albarid. اللهم طهرني من الذنوب والخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الوسخ. That, O Allah, purify me with snow, hail, and cold water. O Allah, cleanse me from the sins and errors, just as a white garment is cleansed from dirt. Isn't this amazing? Hey, the Prophet ﷺ worshipped Allah in the most beautiful way. And this is why his example is the best example for us. Yani, we cannot come up with such beautiful words, such complete words. We can only learn them from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you see, in these words, we are taught to seek forgiveness from Allah. We just did that at the beginning. And now again, after rukur, when we glorify and praise Allah, again we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and purification. After this is sajda. We go into sajda. And in sajda, remember, a person is in the closest position possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, on this earth, the closest that you can find yourself to Allah is in the position of sajda. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, wasjud waqtarib, that make sajda and draw near. Draw near who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in sajda now, you cannot even see anyone. Right, you cannot see anything. You're literally putting your head on the ground, and what you see is just the ground. So in this position, as you are lowering yourself, completely bringing yourself down, and you are placing yourself on seven bones, as we learn, your hands, both your hands, your knees, your feet, and your forehead, nose. You are close to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and this is why we should make a lot of dua in sajda. And remember, for every sajda, you get rewarded. Your sins are erased. Your ranks are raised. And the parts of the body that are involved in sajda, in making sajda, so the seven bones, the knees, the feet, the two hands, and the forehead, nose area, these parts of the body are forbidden on the hellfire. Meaning, even if a person ends up in hellfire because of some other sins, fire will not consume these parts of the body. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from hell. And in sajda, because we are closest to Allah, we should begin with the praise and glorification of Allah, and then we should ask Allah. So we should say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glory be to my Lord, the Most High. We should say, Allahumma ghfir li ma asrartu wa ma a'lantu. You see, you are conversing with Allah. This is like a secret, a private conversation with Allah. So you're saying, oh Allah, forgive me all of my sins, what I have concealed and what I have done openly. Any my sins that only you know of. Ya Allah, forgive all of them. And again, you glorify Allah. Subbuhun quddusun rabbul malaikati wal ruh. Subhanaka wa bihamdik, la ilaha illa ant. You are the most glorious, the most holy, Lord of the angels and Jibreel. Glory be to you, O Allah, and all praise be to you. There is no deity except you. Subhanakallahumma rabbana wa bihamdik. Allahumma ghfirli. Glory be to you, O Allah, our Lord, and all praise be to you. O Allah, forgive me. Subhana dhil jabarut wal malakut wal kibriya'i wal azama. Glory be to the one who has all power, sovereignty, magnificence, and might. And especially you ask Allah for forgiveness. Allahumma ghfirli dhanbi kullahu. O Allah, forgive me all my sins. Diqqahu wa jillahu, small and great. Wa awwalahu wa akhirahu, first and last. Wa alaniyatahu wa sirrahu, open and secret. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for refuge. We say, Allahumma a'udhu bi ridaka min sakhatik. O Allah, indeed I seek refuge with your pleasure from your wrath. وَبِمُعَافَاتِكَ مِنْ عُقُوبَتِكَ, and with your forgiveness from your punishment. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ, and I seek refuge with you from you. لَا أُحْصِي ثَنَاءً عَلَيْكَ, I cannot account for your praise. أَنْتَ كَمَا أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ, you are as you have praised yourself. I cannot praise you enough, you deserve even more. So Ya Allah, you protect me. Even when you are angry with me for something that I am guilty of, Ya Allah, still you protect me from your punishment. Allahumma laka sajadtu, wa bika amantu, wa laka aslamtu. O Allah, before you I prostrate myself, and in you I believe, and to you I have submitted. Sajada wajhi lilladhi khalaqahu wa sawwarahu wa shaqqa sam'ahu wa basarahu. My face is prostrated before the one who created it and brought forth its hearing and its sight. Tabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. Blessed is Allah, the best of creators. We can also make dua nur in sajda. Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura, wa fi sam'i nura, wa fi basari nura, wa an yamini nura, wa an shimali nura, wa amami nura, wa khalfi nura, wa fawqi nura, wa tahti nura, wa ja'alli nura. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this dua in sajda also. We're asking Allah for light in our heart, in our hearing, in our vision, on our right, on our left, in front of us, behind us, above us, below us, and all of us. We're asking Allah to fill us with light. Now when we get up from sajda and we go back into sajda again, we have to sit. And this is called the jalsa, right? And in this sitting position, again, first of all, we have to make sure we become completely still. Some people do not observe stillness in the sitting position. They get up from sajda and they go right back into sajda. No, when you get up from sajda, sit still. And when you are still, then say, Rabbi ighfirli, Rabbi ighfirli. This is what we should say when we're sitting. That, oh my Lord, forgive me. Oh my Lord, forgive me. And you can say this over and over again. Not just two times. The Prophet ﷺ would say, Rabbi ighfirli, Rabbi ighfirli, meaning over and over again. Oh my Lord, forgive me. Oh my Lord, forgive me. And then you go back into sajda. And when you get up from sajda, in your second rak'ah or in your last rak'ah, then you say the words of the shahud. And in the words of the shahud, what are you saying? You are basically glorifying and praising Allah. And you are sending salat salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's righteous slaves. And you are making different du'as. So you begin with words of praise and glorification for Allah. So you say, At-tahiyyatu lillahi, was-salawatu, wat-tayyibatu. All greetings for Allah and prayers and good words. You see the word At-tahiyyat. Tahiyyat means good words or words of greeting. And the Arabs would say tahiyya, you need to greet one another. And what they meant to say was, may you live a long, long life. May you live 1,000 years. Yeah, because hayat is life. So at-tahiyyatu lillah means that all greetings, all salutations are for Allah. And you are basically complimenting and greeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you're saying was-salawat, and all prayers also. Salawat refers to the 5 daily prayers, and not just the 5 daily prayers, but also Every form of worship and every dua. Yani you are dedicating that to who? To Allah alone. Lillahi. Wassalawatu lillahi. Yani all worship you dedicate to who? Allah. And then what tayyibat? Tayyibat means good words. Words of dhikr. Pure words. Words of praise. Words of glorification. And not just words. Tayyibat also means good actions. So when you say at-tahiyyat, you are saying that all words of worship are dedicated to Allah. So this is basically qawli ibadah. You are worshiping Allah through your words. When you say salawat are for Allah, you are dedicating your actions of worship to Allah alone. So this is fi'li ibadah. And when you say tayyibat, good actions or good words, you are dedicating words of praise and glorification to Allah. And also, you are dedicating all other forms of worship, for example, your charity, your spending, also to Allah. So, at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. And then you say, assalamu alayka ayyuha nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You say, peace be upon you, the Prophet, and the mercy of Allah and his blessings. And then you say, assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. May peace of Allah be upon us and upon the righteous slaves of Allah. Isn't this so beautiful? You make dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then for yourself and all of the righteous slaves of Allah. Any when you say this in salah, you are making dua for every righteous slave of Allah, whether they lived before, they're alive now, or they will come to the earth after you have left the world. Subhanallah. You know, so often people ask you to make dua for them. When you say this, you are including all of the righteous slaves of Allah in your dua. And then you say the words of shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I testify that there is no deity but Allah. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave and his messenger. After the words of tashahud, you send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And remember that this is the best way of making dua. You begin with words of glorification and praise for Allah. You send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then you make dua. And what du'as can you make after this? There are so many du'as from the sunnah. And I will read some of them here so that you become familiar with them. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. O Allah, I have greatly wronged myself. وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And none forgives wrong actions except you. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِكَ وَارْحَمْنِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. So grant me your forgiveness. And O Allah, be merciful to me. You are the ever-forgiving, the ever-merciful. We are confessing all of our sins over here. Many, many sins over here. And we are acknowledging that no one can forgive sins except for Allah. And we're asking Allah for special forgiveness, for great forgiveness from Himself and His mercy, because He is able to forgive all sins and He is very merciful to His slaves. Another dua we can make, Allahumma ghafir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu wa ma asrartu wa ma a'lantu wa ma asraftu. وَمَا أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِ مِنِّي أَنْتَ الْمُقَدِّمُ وَأَنْتَ الْمُؤَخِّرُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. O Allah, forgive my former and latter sins, and those which I have done secretly, and those which I have done openly, and those sins in which I have wronged others, and those faults of mine about which you have better knowledge than I have. You are the one who sends forth and you are the one who delays. There is no true deity except you. We also make dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam wa min adhabi al-qabr wa min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat wa min sharri fitnat al-masih al-dajjal. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the punishment of the grave. And I seek refuge with you from the trial. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the punishment of hell. And from the punishment of the grave, and from the trials of life, and the trials of death, and from the evil of the trial of Dajjal. And you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from the greatest evils, the greatest dangers, the greatest harmful things that you could ever experience. And these are the punishment of hell. In the grave, the punishment of the grave. You're asking Allah to protect you from the different trials in this life. And the trial of death, the trial of death is that a person makes such a mistake at the time of death that their good deeds are nullified. Because shaitan does not leave a person even at that time. So Ya Allah, protect me from that fitna and protect me from the greatest fitna in the world, which is the fitna of Dajjal. In another version of this dua, we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from min al-ma'thami wal-maghram. That, O Allah, I seek your refuge from sin and from debt. Any sin that I do not even realize, and debt, financial burden. Ya Allah, protect me from that, because that makes life very difficult. Another dua is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-bukhli, wa a'udhu bika min al-jubni, wa a'udhu bika an uradda ila ardhil al-umur, wa a'udhu bika min fitnat al-dunya, wa a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from stinginess. I seek refuge with you from cowardice. I seek refuge with you from reaching the age decrepit old age, basically, where a person is completely weak and dependent on others. And I seek refuge with you from the trials of the world and from the trials of the grave, the torment of the grave. We can also make some other dua, such as, Allahumma inni as'aluka ya Allah bi annaka al-wahid al-ahad al-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad an taghfira li dhunubi innaka antal ghafur ar-rahim. That, O Allah, I ask of you, O Allah, because you are the one, the only one, the self-sufficient master, the one who neither begets nor is he born, and there is none equal or comparable to him. I ask you, O Allah, that you forgive me my sins, for you are the ever-forgiving, the all-merciful. And remember that at the end of Salah, before we say the Salam, this is also an excellent time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever that you want. So for example, you can say, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءِ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. You can say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. You can make any dua. And you can also say at this time, اللهم إني أسألك بأن لك الحمد لا إله إلا أنت المنان بديع السماوات والأرض يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم إني أسألك. That, O Allah, I ask of you, because you deserve all praise. There is no God but you. You are Al-Mannan. You are the bestower of favors. You are the originator of the heavens and the earth. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram, ya hayyu ya qayyum, ever living, the sustainer of all. Indeed, I ask you. And in hadith, we learn that when you make dua to Allah with these words, then your duas are accepted. You are given what you ask for. So you can say this dua in your tashahud also, yani before you end your salah, and then you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever it is that you wish. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your duas. Ameen. And after that, we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yani we say salam to those on our right and those on our left. And remember, when you send salam to others, then the same is for you, because when you made dua for someone else, the same dua is made for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all safety and peace that we so desperately need and wish for. Ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر.